Turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 10, and I want to give you something that I gave you, how many, 6 years ago, I think, just about. So some of you are going to remember this passage of Scripture for what's in here, but I think it's really, really timely for us to be reminded of what happened here. Acts chapter 10, this is Cornelius. I don't think there's a person in here that isn't familiar with Cornelius and what happened, so I don't want to belabor the point in introducing this text to you, but there are some things that are important for us in the text to look at. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's pray for those teens that are out there in their teen hut, and all those kids that are back there in Master Club, and what's going on in here, and then we'll get started. Brian, pray for us. All right, so Peter gets hungry. God shows him unclean animals. He said, I'm not going to do that. He says, rise, Peter, in verse 13, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the Lord said, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times. And right after that, three men came from Cornelius, addressed Peter, and told him, you need to get down to Cornelius' house because the Spirit of God's talked to him, given him a vision. You need to come preach the gospel to him. And so Peter went. And in verse 24, the morrow after they entered into Caesarea and Cornelius waited for them, look at this, and had called together his kinsmen and near friend. So he gathered up a group. He didn't keep all this to himself. Gathered up a group, brought them to his house. 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet, worshipped him like a pope. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And that's because he's not. He's just a man, not a pope. He talked with him, went in and found many that were come together in verse 27. In verse 33, when Cornelius is relating why he called Peter, he said, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So here's a lost man gathering up a crowd for the preacher, and he's got them ready to hear something of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 44, during the sermon, after in verse 43, Peter has preached to him Jesus, where he says here, to him give all the prophets witness that through his names whoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So Cornelius was not the only one that got saved, but the group that he gathered up as his house got saved as well. Years ago, when I preached this text to you, we started something that I called the Cornelius Project or the Cornelius Principle, which was simply, you have friends who, as of yet, have not come to church, but might come to your house, even if they knew your pastor was going to come talk to them about Jesus Christ. Edie asked Mary, her sister, to come to her house. Mary wouldn't come to our church when we were in that little storefront building, but she would go to Edie's house. And at Edie's house, Mary heard the gospel, got saved. Later on, she got baptized at Edie's house, and she died, and I preached her funeral, and she's in heaven today as a result of that. You see, that's a big thing. While we were in Mexico before this was back in 2007, we had the opportunity to preach in two house churches, which were missions of Templo Bautista from Pachuca, Mexico. You read through your Bible, you know, Paul writes letters to his friends and to his fellow laborers, and he's writing and he's talking to them about Greek so-and-so and the church that is in their house. Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house. Philemon had a church in his house. When you think about what it costs to put up one of these things, you can see why house churches, particularly when they first got started, were so important. Well, we preached in two of those down there in Mexico. At the second church, which was in a place called Sagoon, that night was a Monday night. There were five lost people in addition to probably 20 other people that were there that night. Pastor Adam had scheduled me to preach, and he came to me and said, you know what I'd rather you do? I'd rather you give your testimony. Well, he didn't really know what it was, my testimony was. But I was raised Catholic, like they were, and got saved after hearing a testimony of Jesus Christ, like they were hearing. And God used that thing. And then somebody preached the gospel right behind that. Three of those people got saved that night, and two of them were being dealt with by somebody else when we left the house. And I thought, that's Cornelius, see? That's what Cornelius did. So on the way to the airport, I talked to Pastor Thompson, and he told me that they used a principle there that we see in this text. Someone inviting family and friends over for a Bible study so they can hear the gospel. So let's look at this text and examine this principle, see what's going on here. First of all, notice in verse 5 of Acts chapter 10 that this wasn't Peter's idea and this wasn't Cornelius's idea. This was God's idea. And now in verse 4, there was a vision, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. God was the one that led in this decision. The Lord's the one that put this together. And in verses 19 and 20, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So the Spirit's working both sides of this. He's getting Cornelius to make the invitation and Peter to accept because Peter's a Jew and wouldn't ordinarily go to a Gentile's house. Now the Bible talks about Paul, and he says in Acts chapter 20 that when he ministered to folks, he went publicly and house to house. And we do some door knocking. You guys are passing out Bibles and talking to people in your neighborhood about Jesus Christ, and that's good work. But it's also difficult work, and it's very difficult these days, particularly because Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are working their doors, and telemarketers are working their telephones, and by the time they get home, the last thing they want is somebody else who's a stranger offering anything, even eternal life. However, when you invite somebody and prayerfully make that invitation, you know, in other words, checking with God and about making something happen and make an invitation to your house. It's the best of all divine appointments. It really is. Now, notice also, not only did the Lord put the whole thing together, but notice in verses 7 and 8, Cornelius called for the preacher to come to his house. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually, and when he had declared all things unto them, he sent them to Joshua. He made the invitation. He called for the preacher. You know what I remember about my childhood? Who was y'all's doctor? Did you use Dr. Sager? Dr. McCullum. Dr. Sager lived in our neighborhood, one street over. We were on De Leon, and they were Liberty, I think was the name of that street that ran there. And back in those days, doctors made house calls. Any of y'all ever have a house call by a doctor? Yeah. They don't do that today. You go to their office and you wait about long enough for the contract on your house to be completed. That's a thing of the past. And you know something? Likewise, today people are shocked when a preacher comes by. We'll have people visit our church, and then I go by and visit them, and they're like, wow, we've never had a preacher come to our house. And that's sort of an unusual thing today, but it's a great way to visit with people because it's much more relaxed, and you can get into a lot of discussions, and they can tell you a lot of personal things they wouldn't feel comfortable telling and perhaps being overheard here. But wouldn't you think it's strange today if a doctor knocked on your door said, I'm just out in your neighborhood telling you that I'm a doctor, and if there's anything I can do for you, you know, you let me know, and I'll be glad to write you a prescription or anything. That'd be very strange, wouldn't it? They'd say, he'd say, can I come in? He said, well, not really. I feel fine. There's, you know, and they look at the same way when we go door knocking today. They look at us like, what are you coming here offering this stuff to me for? I'm fine. Get on out of here. I don't need you. They really do, but they don't know it. But you know something? If you were to have a dinner party at your house and you invited two of your friends, couples, and you had a doctor friend and his wife that were with you there, and in the course of the conversation, your friends found out that one of the invited guests was a doctor, if you stayed in that house long enough before the night was over, one of those would go up to him and say, now, you know, doctor, I happen to have this deal with my knee here. It changes the whole dynamic. And now, all of a sudden, they'd be asking the doctor questions about things that concern them. And you know what? The same thing is true with the preacher. Sometimes when they find out that I've been invited and I'm a preacher, they'll say, you know, I've heard a preacher say such and such before. What do you make of that? Or I've heard such and such out of the Bible before. Is that true? It changes the whole dynamic of the thing. It puts you in a different type of relationship with the people that you're talking to. For one thing, everybody's been invited and everybody's there, to visit. So the next thing we see in the text is this. The preacher went to his house, verse 23. Then he called them in and lodged them, and on the morning Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. They went on to Cornelius' house. Now, I don't know what Peter had scheduled when he was up there on that roof waiting for lunch, but whatever it was, he changed his schedule, and this invitation became the priority. And, I've had people say, preacher, I had something that I wanted to talk to you about, but I didn't want to bother you. Let me ask you something. You can already see where I'm going with this. It's not a bother to be asked to come eat your Brussels sprout. Huh? It is to Bobby, yeah. Well, he doesn't like Brussels sprouts. It's not really a bother to be invited to somebody else's house for a meal. To have the opportunity to preach the gospel. You know that any preacher that loves to preach the gospel would drop anything and everything to be able to have that opportunity to sit down with a lost person and give that person the gospel. Now, I have never, to my knowledge, in all the years being in the ministry, refused that opportunity. I think back again when Edie had called me and heard that I was doing a series on how to lead Catholics to the Lord. She called me and asked for a copy of the tapes, and I told her, I said, what do you want to do? She said, I've got lost family members that are Catholic, and I'm worried about my mom and dad. Where do they live? Orange Grove. Well, I'm in Beeville. You're in Cal Allen. That's about halfway for each. Let's just meet at their house, and we'll talk to them. They got saved in their home. They got saved in their home. And, you know, you drop anything for an opportunity to do that. Seriously. The preacher went to Cornelius' house. And then, as you saw when we were reading the text in verse 24, Cornelius invited his family and friends. It's not unusual for a man to do that. The morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And you know what? They knew what they were getting into. It wasn't a being crafty, I caught you with guile, which is often misquoted. Wasn't a sleight of hand thing. Oh, by the way, I invited my preacher. I hope you don't mind because he's going to preach the gospel to you tonight. And they're like, oh, boy, this steak isn't going to taste any good tonight at all. No, they knew what they were getting into. In verse 33, Cornelius said, now, therefore, are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. They knew the preacher was going to be there, and they were prepared for that. Years ago when I was in, college maybe by this time? Maybe so. I guess it was. We had an eye doctor in Beeville named Craig Beatty, and he was from the Tennessee area. I think he'd gone to Sewanee out there. And I always remember when I went to have my eyes checked, they put those great big things on you, right? Let have the magnifiers and the corrective lenses in them. And he would say to me, Is it better this way, or nearly the same? I had to go a lot when I was a kid, you know. I had 3 eye surgeries. He did them all. He had a daughter named Tina. She was cute. And Tina had a friend named Bill Noble. I knew Bill. Bill had been in Wichita Falls. There's a lake up there. And he'd been driving along the dam of that lake, as I remember it, or a levee that was on that lake, when a tornado hit. The tornado picked up his car, flipped it, and threw him in that lake and submerged him in that water. The way the pressure was, he went down and the water began to fill in that car, and he cried out to God, and that tornado lifted him out of that lake, turned the car back over, and stuck him on that levee. After recovering his wits, he began, thank God, he said, there's nobody else to thank for that miracle, went and found a preacher, and that preacher led him to Jesus Christ. He came down back to Victoria from there, got with Tina, and they called every one of us in Victoria that they knew and said, I want you to come to my house and hear a testimony from Bill Noble about something God did for him. And I bet you there were 30 or 40 of us there. And they sat us all down in the living room, and Bill got up and gave that testimony about that miracle that God worked in his life, and then a testimony about how Jesus Christ saved him. Some of those kids got saved that night. That's what it was. It was this deal right here. And it was just remarkable. We did this for a while. I remember going over to the Epler's house, and I went over to Dr. Everett's house, and there were family members there, and preached the gospel there in the theater room after they'd built their new home and that kind of thing. Listen, this is what Pastor Adam did in Mexico, and people have been saved that way. Saints have been involved in getting folks saved. The nice thing about it is, some people say to me, you know, I still don't feel comfortable preaching that way to my friends. Don't worry about that. Leave it to somebody who feels comfortable doing that. I love to preach to lost people. And you know what? You love to see lost people get saved. It's a wonderful thing. I think we went up there to the lake and had a deal. And we've taken people out to lunch before. We met over there with David in Sinton, right at the Dairy Queen. In Odom? No, in Sinton, at the Whataburger, and sat down with him and gave David the gospel, and he got saved, and he missed our church. It was like a dink bounced off and ended up at the Church of Hope, and then got his son over there, who was 12 years old. We got back with him and had lunch with him one day to see how things were doing. He said his son saw Jesus coming out of the ceiling. I told him, you're in the wrong church. You need to move. You need to move. You know what happens in a situation like that? It's much easier after that to then invite them to come to church. The Spirit of God's been working. They're already comfortable with the people that are involved. And it's also easier to get them involved in discipleship. Well, continuing on with the deal, you know the rest of the story. In verses 34 to 43, the preacher preached the message. I mean, they didn't go over there and just have coffee and tea and visit and chit-chat all night long, and then the preacher head home. When it was time, he got up and he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got down to the business at hand, and that's what they knew would happen. And then in verse 44, as you've seen, the Spirit of God blessed the preaching of the Word of God, and many folks were saved. Years ago, when we were in Beeville, I hadn't gone off to school yet to train for the ministry, we visited with a fella. And he said, my family is all staying at such house. I want you to go over to that house. I'm going to let them know you're coming. I want you to go to that house. So he prepared the way. We went to that house where they were staying. There were 13 of them, and what they had done is they'd come up from the valley, and one of the brothers was in jail. They'd all come up there because he was going to be released, and they wanted to be able to take him home. And that culturally, you know, a lot of times in Hispanic families, that involves the whole family. It's not just dad's going to go up and take care of this. So while they were there and waiting, we went over to this house after that introduction, and David in Spanish gave them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they became very interested in it. And you know what we had after that? Just like we do for this booth, we had a revival meeting preached by a Hispanic pastor from Lubbock, And Pastor Raul something, I think. Anyway, at La Primera Iglesia Bautista in Beeville. So we invited the whole family after we gave them a gospel witness to come. They came to the meeting. The pastor preached. And all by this time, the young man had gotten out of jail. They didn't head to the valley. They came back to the church. All 14 of them walked the aisle to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior in the morning. And all 14 of them got baptized together that night. Wow. That was an amazing thing. You know what? That's the kind of thing. Now, that, of course, that's not how it happens every time. But it sure happened that time. And you know what? It wouldn't have happened at all if we hadn't been in that house on that invitation to talk to them about Jesus Christ. So, and I've been praying about this for a while, and then I found this message again, and I think it's time for us to be reminded about it. We're doing the sowing the seed and working in the harvest and that kind of thing. Listen, if you, and I'm sure you do, have friends that you know that don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't want to have it at your house, we'll have it at my house. But let's get them together and get a gospel witness and let them hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ like happened at Cornelius' house. Let them get into the kingdom of God, see if they won't come join you in the church, and maybe they have some friends that need Jesus Christ as well. And what you have done for them, they can do for their friends. That would be a delightful thing, don't you think? I believe we ought to do that again. Don't forget Cornelius, and don't forget what God did at his house one night. He can do it at your house one of these days. Amen? Amen. Say, well, I don't want you to come over. Okay, well, then have Tony come over. We said, well, I really don't want Tony to come. Okay, well, then have Randy come over. I said, okay, well, we'll have Randy come over. It doesn't make a difference. Or Brian. Right? Right? That God set it up where these folks can be saved under your roof. As well as anywhere else. Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to see this from the Scripture, and I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just work in our hearts to be obedient to your will. And if there's opportunities for this in the lives of our folks that are gathered here tonight, then you know, Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will alert us to these matters and help us to get busy, busy, busy about seeing souls saved. Thank you so much tonight, Father, for the opportunity to preach the words of God. We ask you to bless them now in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.